We're currently in a series called This Is Us. This Is Us. And we have identified that there is a difference between someone who says they are a Jesus follower and someone who acts like they follow Jesus. We call someone who acts in a way that is different from what they say a, starts with an H, hypocrite. That's right, hypocrite. Our goal for our church, Focus Church, is that we would be a church that's filled with Jesus followers who are living their life the right way, the way that Jesus intended. And how do we do that? Jesus gave a message on the side of a mountain one day, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he blew people's minds with his teaching because he described a different way of following him, of following God. Traditionally, this message is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Each week, we've been looking at a portion of this. And so in week one, we found out that Jesus' followers, they stand out. That we shouldn't be camouflaged, but people should be able to tell by our happiness, by like how salt is to food and how light is to darkness. And when we're living an open life where our actions speak louder than our words. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus gives us the reason to stand out, saying, "When we open our lives for others to see, people will be open to God in their lives." In week two, we found out that Jesus' followers, they raise the bar. We looked at track and field, and we also talked about gymnastics, how once you reach a level, you go to the next level. And we discussed that following Jesus is something that is progressive, not something that is instantaneous. We don't immediately get from here to there. But we take steps along the way, and God guides us in those steps. And so when we have reached a level that this is, hey, what God requires of me, then there's another level. We go up, and then there's another level, and we go up, until we never arrive until we actually see Jesus himself. In chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus challenged us with this. He said, "In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way that God lives towards you." Last week was week number 3. And we found out that Jesus' followers pray right. And Jesus showed us that praying isn't about a repetition of words. It isn't about a script. It is not for show. But really, it's simply a conversation with God. And he gave an example of praying. And too often, we've taken the example and we said, oh, we're supposed to pray these exact words. But when Jesus was giving us the Lord's Prayer, he was saying this. That here's an example, here's a way, a model, not a script. In chapter 6, verse 8, he said, "With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. He just wants to have a conversation with you." And today, this week, we're finding out that Jesus' followers have perspective. They have perspective. So if you'll turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading today out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. If you got your Bibles, you're flipping over to Matthew 6. If you got your phone with your Bible app, you want to make sure at the top you change it to the NLT version. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. We're reading verses 31 through 33. You can also follow along with the words on the screen. It says this, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need." Let's pray. God, we give the next few moments to you. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word today, that it would change us, that it would speak not just to our hearts, but also to our heads as we get an aha of how we're supposed to do this. Change our perspective today. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Have you ever heard of the phrase Murphy's Law? Heard of that, Murphy's Law? It basically states this, that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And you know what? a lot of us live our lives like that's a reality. We think that anything that can go wrong is going to go wrong, and we obsess over it. We worry about it. We think and we concentrate on it, and we get proof all the time, don't we, when things do go wrong. But it occupies so much of our time. We worry about everything. The definition of worry is simply this: to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles, usually ones that haven't happened already. If we were to put it into a perspective of following Jesus, worrying would be considered the exact opposite of faith. Faith is believing that God will do something that we haven't seen. And worry is believing something's going to happen that we haven't seen, but something bad. Worrying is the opposite of faith. Worrying, it paralyzes us, keeps us up at night. And Jesus is talking to his followers as he's continuing his message on the side of this mountain. And he gives us the key to battling worry. He says this in Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. You know, another translation says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. You got plenty today. Just concentrate on today. And what Jesus was saying, he was saying, this is us. We don't worry because we have perspective. We have perspective. So this weekend, being the weekend that everyone's gone to youth convention, also means that 4 members of my family are gone this weekend, my wife and my 3 oldest boys. And so that meant that not only were they gone, but I got to spend the weekend with my 2 little ones. We called it Dad and Littles Weekend. Dad and Littles Weekend. And they were very excited, and their mother was very scared. You see, for 3 days, which is literally only 48 hours, I had the responsibility to keep 2 tiny humans alive without Shalee. And I received a lot of instruction before she left. Make sure they do this. Make sure you feed them. Make sure they go to bed on time. Make sure they take a bath or shower. You know, make sure they look decent before you go out. And make sure you get them to church on time and their hair is brushed and their teeth are brushed and they match. You know, it's like she knew me or something. You know, I would think I might take offense to these instructions, but this is like a bit much. And not only was Shalee worried, I was a little worried. But I knew deep down I could do it. And so I told my littles, Radley and Riley, it's going to be the best weekend of your life. You're going to have adventures that you never even imagined. Yeah. I was covering, you know, my bases. When Jesus was talking about worrying, he said most of our worry is centered around the basic needs of life. And he said, don't worry about money, about food, or about clothes. And that's the things that we worry about the most. We worry about what we do have, and we worry about what we don't have. There's so many things that we want, and there's so many things that we need, and there never seems to be enough. We live our lives in a way that we look about what we need and what we don't have and what we want and what we don't have, and we try to figure out how we're going to get there and what can I do to get it. And usually involves getting more money, which usually means working more or getting a different job, and we change things because we want to pay the bills and because we got little ones that got to have clothes and they got to eat and right? But Jesus wanted to challenge our perspective about money. He said it's too easy to kind of get warped out of perspective, and you get worried about trying to provide that money becomes a master to you. You become a slave to it. Instead, he said, you know what? Really, as a Jesus follower, You need to stop storing your treasures here on earth where they can get messed up and corroded or stolen. Or instead, you want to take your treasure and you want to put it in heaven. You want to be storing up treasures in heaven where none of those things can reach it. We can guarantee you're still going to have it. And it's talking about a different perspective. You know, when I read the scripture and it says that store, you know, where you store your treasures, you know, don't store them on this planet where they can get messed up. I think about one of my favorite treasures I own is my pickup truck. And I'm really excited about my pickup truck. It's my dream truck, and it's got big tires on it. I'm so happy and thrilled that I've got it and everything. And it kind of hit me this week. It could break down. It's not going to last forever. And then what's going to happen to it? And then the worst thing happened. You know, I moved this truck to Wisconsin, and we only did half a winter, and there's rust by a wheel well. What is up with that? Thanks, Wisconsin. But it just put into perspective. We're saying, don't keep your treasures here on earth where they can get corroded and messed up, or they can break down and they can get stolen. He goes on to say that, you know, wherever your treasure is, wherever your heart is, that's your treasure, that's where your heart is. You see, we try to figure it out, and we try to make more money, or we try to borrow more money, and either way, we become a slave to money, which is the opposite of what God desires for you. And we don't just worry about what we want, but also about what we need. And so, yesterday morning was my first morning waking up with the Littles for Dad and Littles weekend. And we needed to leave the house, which involved the kids getting dressed. And so I tried what any good dad would do and told them, go get dressed. 15 minutes later, my youngest boy, Radley, he comes, and he's wearing a shirt that's like 10 sizes too big. I think it's from one of his brothers. And he's wearing athletic pants that are 10 sizes too short. So like high waters and a big old shirt. And I'm like, you can't go out. And the colors didn't match. It was like orange shirt and a yellow pants. And it just, I like, he looked like a clown. Like, you can't go out like that. And he starts getting offended at me. He's like, Dad, this is all I have. I'm like, no, you need to go back to your closet. It's full of clothes. He's like, Dad, I checked. I don't have anything to wear. This is all I've got. How many of you can say, I can relate with Radley? I go into that closet full of clothes and there's nothing to wear. Yes. Silly. Crazy. So what did I do? I took Radley and said, let's go to your closet. Let's see if we can find something. And sure enough, within 2 seconds, I'm like, here's a shirt and here's pants and they'll work and they match. He's all stomping around because Dad wants him to wear matching clothes that fit. So he decides to take his orange shirt off. He's all mad. He tosses it up in the air and gets caught up on a bedpost in my bedroom. And I think I'm going to leave it there for Shalee when she comes home today. It's still there. We worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. I mean, have you ever had a kid go into your pantry and say, there's nothing to eat, Mom or Dad? Here's the thing that gets me is my oldest son, Randon. He's 16 years old. And all of a sudden, about every so often, about once a week, he has a freak out moment. And his freak-out moment goes something like this. What are we going to do for dinner? Dad, what are we going to do for dinner? What's going to happen for dinner? And I'm like, dude, hold on. He's like, we got to eat. We're going to have to eat. What are we doing for dinner? And I'm thinking, this kid really thinks that his parents are going to forget to feed him. And I try to explain the best way I can. I'm like, dude, we're not going to forget to feed you. We're all got to eat. And sometimes I go the opposite way. I say, oh, man, you're right. I'm glad you reminded me because we were just going to just go on till tomorrow and skip dinner. And it's funny to see him act that way. But, you know, there are times where if God was looking at us, we're trying to say, how are we going to make it to next month? There's not enough money in the checking account. We don't have anything to wear. The car's breaking down. We don't have what we need. And what are we going to do? You know, Jesus was talking about worrying. And worrying is something that we all do. It's like second nature for us. It's like our default. Our default perspective is that we concentrate on everything that could go wrong and everything we don't have and everything that there isn't. And it takes a lot of concentration and willpower and strategy and commitment to say, I am not going to worry. Jesus said in verse 25, if you decide to live for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the clothes you put on your body or the food that you put into your stomach. My favorite verse is when he says in verse 27, he says, has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten an inch taller? I can relate to that. You know how many times I've tried to make myself grow? I have been short all of my life. And it's not fun being short because everything everywhere points out that you're short, including podiums like this. And I have a wish for every kid. You know, see, I worked with kids for 20 years as a children's pastor, and it's amazing to see them grow up from little things to big things. And, you know, they get all nice and proud when they can say, look, children's pastor, I'm as tall as you. And I tell them, that's okay. That's my wish for you. I want every kid to be taller than me because your life will be that much easier. I wish it worked that you could just worry enough that you can add an inch to your height. You know, better than that, I wish you could worry enough that inches get lost on your waist. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know. So Friday night, the kids are like, Dad, you said we're going to have an adventure. We need to do something exciting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I? They're like, Dad, we got an awesome idea. What if we had a movie night? And I'm like, okay, yeah, we could do that. We could have a movie night. I'm like, do you guys think that would be an awesome adventure? Like, yeah. I'm like, then it's definitely movie night. And they begin kind of having a debate about what movie are we going to watch. And they're flipping through the movie choices on the TV. And they're kind of arguing over because you got a boy and you got a girl and they have very different tastes of movies. And they're trying to figure out what are they going to watch. And they're like, Dad, we need to watch a movie that we haven't seen before. And I'm thinking, wow. How are we going to find a movie that they haven't seen before? One that they both will like. And finally, the idea hit me as I saw the movies being scrolled through the list. I said, guys, do you trust Dad? They had to think about it. I said, do you trust Dad? I'll pick a movie, and you probably don't know what it is. It's going to be a movie that you have never seen before, but I promise by the end of it, you'll think it's the greatest movie ever. They're like, Dad? Are you sure? They were a little worried. I said, do you trust me? They said, okay, Dad. And so I proceeded to pick out a movie for them called Parent Trap. Not the original one, the remake one. I've watched both. They had never seen it before. And as the antics go along in the movie, there's more pranks, there's more things happening. And all of a sudden, I find my two littles on the couch with me, snuggled in, laughing their heads off. They are laughing, and they're laughing, and then it gets worse, and they think they can't laugh anymore, and then they laugh even more, and it's crazy to see. And I'm like, and I'm telling them halfway through the movie, you think that's been good so far? Wait till you get to the end. They're like, no way, Dad. This is amazing. And they get to the movie all the way to the end, and they think it's the best movie they have ever watched in their life. They're like, Dad, you're amazing. You're the best. Why were we worried about what you would pick out? And Radley tells me, you knew, Dad, exactly what you were doing, didn't you? And you know what? There are times in our lives where we're worried about something. And God is just saying to us, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you believe that I've got your best interests at heart? Do you believe that I know you and I know what's going to work well for you? And so when we do trust him and he pulls through for us, in the end we say, God, you knew exactly what you were doing, didn't you? And it kind of feels silly that we are even worrying in the first place. Jesus was trying to teach us that the key to not worrying is to change your perspective. Change your perspective. To look at it differently. To think about it this way. To come at it from another angle. For all the worrying that we have ever done in our lifetime, and some of us are more experienced worriers than others, here is a mind-blowing fact. You're still here today. Everything worked out. You're still alive. Luckily, everyone's dressed. Everyone's eaten. Everything's been provided for. We're still here. But what we need is we need a change in perspective, to look at it just a little bit differently. There's a cartoon that my kids like watching. It's called Milo Murphy's Law. And in this, they wrote this whole cartoon about a kid who is the descendant of the original Murphy who came up with Murphy's Law. And as a descendant of this Murphy, everything that can go wrong goes wrong with this kid. And yet, as everything is going wrong, he has such a positive, upbeat outlook on life. And he carries around this backpack, and it seems that this is a special backpack because he can always pull out what he needs. There's a safety helmet in it exactly when he needs it. Or there's rock climbing shoes that help him stick into the dirt as he's going down. There's just different things. But the amazing part of how they've written this character is that even though his life centers around everything going wrong that can go wrong, he's as happy as could be. So what's the difference? How he thinks about it. His perspective. How he views it. That this is just who he is, and this is how life happens. And he just looks at it differently, and he's able to handle everything. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says this: people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. God's got this. We don't have to worry. That the worrying should be for people who don't know God, but for people who know God, we know how he works. We don't have to fuss over it. He will take care of us. Our everyday human concerns will be met. He goes on in verse 34 to say this: give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And I have to tell you that as your pastor, I needed this message about a week ago. And I think it's interesting how God has timing. He knows what he's doing, and the Spirit is always at work. You see, because as your pastor, I worry about our church. I worry about, is anyone going to come in the doors when we open up? I worry about a weekend where we're having 30 people gone, and will anyone even come to church in all the key positions, and what are we going to do downstairs? And there's a bunch of kids, and there's no one there to teach them. I worry about, are we going to bring in enough offering this week that we can pay the bills and keep the building open? That we can pay the people who are supposed to be paid? I worry about your individual lives as I hear your stories and I think, oh man, they need God's help in their life. And there's some in our church who are open to hearing about God, and there's some in our church that offends them if you talk to them about God. How God can help them. And this week, probably worse than any other week, I have just worried about our church. And if I'm sitting up here as your pastor saying, hey, I worry, I'm telling you that, first of all, I'm not superhuman or super Christian. I think Jesus was trying to get this point across, saying, hey, we all worry, but we don't have to. And the way to defeat worry is to change perspective. And so I've had to work this week as I prepared for this message. I'm digging into how do we change our perspective. And we realize who's really in charge. I had to realize that this is not my church. This is God's church. And he's got a problem on his hands if he can't keep the bills paid and the lights on, right? And he's got a problem on hand if nobody wants to show up. It's not my problem. And I can trust that, you know, God wants things to work out. And I can trust that each person who's a part of this church, that whatever you are going through, whatever situation you're in, that God knows. That it's no surprise to him. And that he can work things out. And sometimes it helps to just know that he's there. And so, to put my wife at ease this week, I did something that I enacted the very first time that she ever left me alone with kids. So for this dad and littles weekend, I made sure that each day I took a picture of my kids and I sent it to her and said, proof of life. And they're alive. They're smiling. We're not in the emergency room. I still know where they are. They're with me. And when, yet they match and they look decent in public. Yes. And when my wife gets those, she doesn't worry as much. And I think every so often, there are times where God sends us a proof of life pic and says, hey, I'm here. I got this. It's going to be okay. And in that moment, we worry just a little less because we realize we're in his hands. That even if everything does go wrong that we think is going to go wrong, it's okay because we've got God. He can handle anything. So Paul, writing to the Romans, wrote just a little bit more to elaborate on how can we battle this worry? How can we put things in perspective? What do we need to do? And how can we change? Because we want to be Jesus followers that do it the right way. Jesus followers who do it the way that Jesus, as he was sitting on the side of the mountain, he's explaining, this is how we do it. This is us. So Paul, he gives us some instruction in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. There's our key. Our everyday life, everything we'd worry about, everything that we do, what we just, our laundry list of our to-do list and our schedule and our calendar, our responsibilities, our work, our family, our lack of family. So I just hand it over to God. Say, God, I'm offering it to you. It's yours. Embracing what God does for us, the best thing we can do for him. You know, my littles are going to come away with saying this was the best weekend ever. We had a fun adventure where they worked a lot yesterday, and they thought it was play. They got a lot of stuff done. And they're going to come away with memories of not, am I worried that Dad kept me safe? Am I worried that Dad kept me fed? Am I worried that Dad made sure I looked okay? Instead, they're looking at and say, Dad loves me. Dad cares for me. I had fun with Dad. And that's the best thing that I could hear from them as their dad. And it's the best thing that God can hear from you. It's to not worry about whether or not he's going to come through. But instead, say, God, you got this. You can do this. I believe in you. I trust you. We change our perspective. And then life changes for us. Paul finishes with this. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. See, we have to recognize that all these things that Jesus has been saying, they're not isolated things, but these are building blocks. This is how we grow in being a Jesus follower. We grow by taking steps to the next level. We grow by standing out. We grow by raising the bar. We grow by changing our perspective. We grow by not worrying and trusting God that he's got this. We don't worry, or we try really hard not to. We trust our God. We have perspective, and this is us. Let's pray. God, you've really been challenging us with your words that we found in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 so far. In them, you've been showing us what it's really like to be a follower of you, and sometimes it's kind of blowing our minds. And we recognize that in hearing the message today that all too often we worry. We concentrate on every bad thing that's possible to happen. And we lose perspective of who you are and who you are to us. But God, we started off this by saying that we want to be a church that's full of Jesus followers who are doing it the right way. And that involves trusting you, even when we don't know how it's going to work out. That involves believing that you've got our back, that you want the best for us. And God, it's hard to do, but it's something we've got to. God, I pray right now for every person in here that you would help them specifically in this area of worry. I pray that you would give us a perspective change. And God, I don't need to ask if anyone struggles in this area, because this is an area that we all struggle in. So God, we simply say, we need your help. We need you. Help us, remind us to see things differently, the way that you see them. And while we're still praying, let me address this. You may have come in today and you're hearing your pastor talk about worry and changing perspective. But you found that you've been running your life trying to figure things out on your own. And you've tried really hard and it just hasn't worked out. And it seems that you need something, you're looking for something, but you haven't been able to quite find it. And here's what we believe is that when we try to live our life story with us as the main character, we find that we're not good enough. We mess things up worse than what it really is. Really, true life starts when we decide to change the main character in our life. And that's putting God in charge. You see, as humans, we come from a long lineage going all the way back to the first humans who messed it all up. They made decisions that mess it up for every descendant, that we are now born with evil inside. We're born with a propensity to do wrong, to do what we shouldn't do. We call it sin. And because of our sin, we can't have a relationship with God unless he provided a way. And the good news is that he did. He sent his son because he loved you so much, his son Jesus. Mm-hmm. who didn't just come down to teach nice lessons on the side of a mountain, but he actually came on a mission, and that mission was to pay your price for your sins, to take your sin, to die for you. And it wasn't just a price he paid, but it's what God did next, is that he raised him back to life as the firstborn of a new generation of those who would follow after him. And because he did this, it's now possible for us to have a relationship with God. This wasn't limited to just the people back then or to a Jewish race, but God opened it up for everybody, all of us, that we can be a part of God's family, that we can live our lives with purpose, that we can grow in him, that we can do amazing things for him. But it all comes down to a simple decision, the most important decision you would ever make in your life, and that is to change the main character, to say, I'm sorry, God. I believe you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want you in charge. I want to live for you. And in that moment, and with a prayer like that, your life can be forever changed. And if you would say, Pastor Ryan, that's something I want to decide today. I want God in charge of my life. I want to make him the main character. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. Would you just let me know by just slipping your hand up in the air? Nobody's looking around. It's between me and you and God. Thank you. Thank you. So if you would like to make that decision, I'm going to ask you to pray, repeating after me, and we're all going to pray together, because at Focus Church, nobody prays alone. This is the most important thing we do. We are a church made up of people who aren't perfect. We're just on a path of following after Jesus, who have all made a decision at one point to make Jesus the main character of our life. And so let's pray. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you sent your son, Jesus, to die for me. I want to be a part of your family, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.